Good morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio News. I'm Gary Eichten. Joining us now is energy expert David Morris. Mr. Morris is the co-founder and vice president of the Minneapolis and Washington, D.C.-based Institute for Local Self-Reliance. He is out with a new publication titled Driving Our Way to Energy Independence. And if you'd like to take a look at that publication, go to www.newrules.org. Through the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. We have a link on our website, minnesotapublicradio.org. Meanwhile, not a lot of time, but if you'd like to join our conversation, give us a quick call at 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828 or use our online service at minnesotapublicradio.org. When you get there, click on Send a Question about the high price of gas. David Morris, welcome to Midday.
Thank you, Gary.
You said there is, in fact, a silver bullet to this dilemma of high gas prices.
Well, there is a silver bullet. I mean, the silver bullet is to get us off oil, and we can get us off oil by shifting to electricity. If you travel on electricity, it's about 3 cents a mile. If you travel on gasoline right now, it's pushing 16 cents a mile, and it's going up. So if people have the opportunity to travel on electricity, they will. We have hybrid cars right now, and hybrid cars can be propelled by a motor or they can be propelled by an engine, and they provide the kind of technological foundation. But the problem with a hybrid car is that its batteries are recharged by its engine. So if you have a hybrid car which can plug into the grid system, plug into a socket, and has more batteries, then you can drive only on electricity. And those are beginning to come in to the marketplace. Google is investing very heavily in it. There are conversion kits that are coming on the market. If you have a hybrid, you can convert it. And there's a company that says it's coming out with a kit within the next 6 months where you can actually convert your non-hybrid car into a plug-in hybrid electric car. So electricity is the way we can actually get off the oil escalator. And the reason for that is that only 2% of our electricity is generated by oil. Mm-hmm. So an electric mile is a virtually oil-free mile.
Setting aside the really super new adapters and the people who are living on the cutting edge, at what point would you say, David Morris, could the average Joe and Jane expect to be able to go down to the local car dealer and buy a real car that runs on electricity?
I'd say 3 years.
That's short a time.
Well, General Motors announced that it will be coming out with its Volt car in 2010. So let's figure a year slippage in 2011. Mm-hmm. And that car will travel 40 miles only on electricity. It'll have a little engine. But the engine will only be used to charge the electric batteries, and it will be a plug-in car. So I'd say 3 years. There's several other companies that are announcing that they will have cars similar to that. Nissan just announced it will have a car similar to that in 2010. There's an entrepreneur, a wonderful entrepreneur named Agassi, that's one of those Silicon Valley billionaires, and he decided he would save the world, looked around at how to do it, and decided that electric cars were the way to go. And he has now signed an agreement, really a partnership, with the state of Israel and the state of Denmark. And they will be going with a full-fledged, they expect to have several hundred thousand electric vehicles on the road by 2010. And his innovation is that you will pull up to, call it a gas station, it'll be an electric station, pull up, and they will take out your existing batteries, and then they will put new batteries in. So rather than you having to wait for recharging, it'll be, he says, 20 seconds of taking it out and putting it in. So they'll build the electric car, sell it to you, and then they will exchange the batteries. So things are happening very rapidly out there. And a country like Denmark is interested in it because a country like Denmark is already 25% of its electricity is generated by wind. And so for them, you know, having electric vehicles means another use for their wind-generated electricity.
And these would be real cars that full-sized families could drive around in, not the little econo boxes.
Absolutely. These are cars that would fit 5 people, maybe 6 small people. I mean, they would be the equivalent of a mid-sized car in the United States. They would not be SUVs, and they would not be trucks. But on the other hand, the technology lends itself to larger cars, as well. The Metropolitan Transit System bought several hundred hybrid buses, and hybrid buses almost double the fuel efficiency. So, in fact, they're paying for themselves probably in 6 or 7 years that at current gasoline prices in the Twin Cities. Those are not plug-ins, but they could easily become plug-ins in the very near future. So even if you have a large vehicle, you can think of it being driven by electricity.
Is there any, in the meantime, as we await the arrival in mass of plug-in cars and electric vehicles, is there any easy explanation for why gas prices continue to go up so rapidly?
Well, one reason that gas prices go up.
Everybody denies, well, we're not making any money, and so on and so forth.
Well, what we should start with is the basic price of getting a crude oil barrel out of the ground and delivering it to you. And that price, most people agree, is between $40 and $55 a barrel. So, in other words, if you had a normal system and it was and there was adequate supply, which there is right now, it's not a supply and demand problem, you would be charged based on $55 or $60 a barrel of crude oil. So why is it $130? Well, part of that is because the oil is denominated in dollars. When you buy and sell oil on the world market, you buy and sell it in U.S. dollars, and the U.S. dollar has collapsed. The U.S. dollar has gone down by 35% against other currencies, which means that someone that sold you a dollar's worth of oil basically got 35% less a year later, or it's worth 35% less. So they marked it up by an equivalent amount. So that accounts for maybe $25 of that additional $75. But in the last 6 months, it's been speculation. And, you know, we forget that the oil market price is based largely and increasingly on speculation, on future speculation. Oil futures is the largest commodity futures in the world. And on a daily basis, the volume has tripled in the last 3 years. So everybody is betting on the future price of oil. And when they bet on the future price of oil going up, in fact, the current price of oil goes up. And a lot of those bettors right now are oil nation sovereign funds. That is, oil nations are making an enormous amount of profits from their state-owned oil companies. They're putting it in sovereign funds, and then they're speculating on oil, where if it drives the price up, they're getting revenue two ways, both because of the futures market, but they're also getting revenue from their own oil companies. And American oil companies are doing the same thing. So if we're talking about what's happened in the last 6 months and why oil is going up at a crazy pace on a month-to-month basis, it's almost entirely now speculation.
Is there any reason to believe that acceleration in the price will level off? Maybe even the prices go down at some point?
Well, it all depends. Two things could happen. I mean, one is that the speculative bubble can bust. We've had speculative bubbles in real estate. We've had speculative bubbles in Silicon Valley. So this speculative bubble could bust. And if it busts, it'll probably go back down to $80, $70 to $80, you know, a barrel. So that's possible. The other thing that's possible is that it keeps going up and it drives the world into a recession. And so you have a significant cutback in demand. And when you have a cutback in demand, of course, the price will go down. Interesting to note is that the United States is now consuming less gasoline than we did a year ago. That is, actually the richer part of the world, the industrialized part of the world, including Europe, is either stable or decreasing their oil consumption. It's the emerging countries that are now accounting for 80 to 100% of the new oil consumption. And they're just beginning to get their cars.
There's a good number of people who argue if we simply started taking out of the ground the oil we have ourselves, increased domestic drilling, we'd be just fine. True?
No, it's not true. The United States hit its peak, basically, in terms of oil in the late 1970s. We've been fairly stable in the last 10 or 15 years here. Now, there's oil shale. There's offshore drilling. There are a number of different places. We can drill in the Arctic Refuge. But if we just take the Arctic Refuge and we drilled all of that, that would give us another few months, literally, of oil in terms of our oil supply. So we're not talking about massive amounts of oil that will be available. And there are costs attached to that. I mean, I think that at $130 and upwards a barrel of crude oil, we really should pay more attention at this point to alternatives and accelerate the conversion, you know, of these alternatives. We could have, I mean, take a flexible fueled car. You know, and that's another thing, ethanol. It's very controversial, but ethanol in the growing of corn, and certainly cellulosic ethanol, requires very little oil. It requires some natural gas for the fertilizers and the like, but requires very little oil. So if we increase the production, our cars, our flexible fueled cars, can use that to displace, oil itself. And we should think about that type of ramping up. In fact, studies that have been done indicate that because of biofuels, you know, they've gotten a bad rap, it seems to me, but biofuels, because of the increase in the last 2 years, it's actually kept the price of gasoline down by 25 to 30 cents, and the additional cost to a car company of making a flexible fueled car is $100. So Congress could easily say to the car companies, from your 2 year from now model, all cars have to be flexible fueled cars, and we'll give you $100 per car tax credit to cover the costs. So things can be done right now in both the flexible fueled engine part of it and in the electric car part of it. And things are happening, as I indicated, by entrepreneurs in the marketplace and the like, but the government can speed that up tenfold.
Tony, quick question here.
Yeah, two quick questions. The price of diesel fuel was always significantly lower than gasoline up until about 18 months ago when they were about at par, and then all of a sudden diesel is 75 cents more a gallon. That really makes no sense to me at all. And when you talk about electric cars and putting five people in these things, I've noticed that the size of Americans is growing continually, and you're going to have a real tough time getting some of our larger, say, people in these cars as well.
Okay.
The other issue is I saw something yesterday regarding a innovation using zircon in creating biodiesel over at Augsburg College, and I'm wondering if I could hear you speak a little bit about those issues.
Okay, quick comments on each. Diesel, why is it so much more expensive?
Diesel is more expensive for several reasons. One is it contains more energy. It contains about 10% more energy than gasoline. The second is that in Europe, the cars have switched from gasoline to diesel, so there's been a significant demand, increased demand from diesel from the European countries. And so they are gearing their gasoline production or their refineries to making diesel, which means there's less gasoline. You know, we import gasoline into this country. We import oil and we refine it here for gasoline and diesel, but we also import gasoline. So you're having a, you know, sort of a price change for a number of different reasons.
Zircon? A biodiesel? I don't know what he's...
Yeah, there's a different catalyst. There's a different... The University of Minnesota has made an interesting, you know, breakthrough in terms of biodiesel, which would lower the cost. But 80%, 75 to 80% of the cost of biodiesel is the cost of vegetable oils. And in fact, vegetable oils, which were 20 cents 3 years ago a pound, are now breaking 50 cents, 55 cents a pound. And in fact, our biggest, Soymore, our biggest biodiesel producer, just closed down in Minnesota, because even with the price of diesel being as high as it is, they just can't, and even with a $1 a gallon federal tax incentive, they just can't compete.
And then the other point that the caller made was that we're all getting bigger as a whole, and is it realistic, really realistic, to assume that the manufacturers of electric vehicles can keep up with our size?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but if we continue to get bigger at the rate we're going, there's a lot of problems that are going to happen, including get a seat at the movie theater and not having your elbows in the next seat.
Transit and carpooling. People say, boy, I'm really interested in that. Do you think over time people will start using the transit systems that are available?
Yes, I think they can. I mean, we have a fairly good transit system in terms of commuting. We don't have a very good transit system in terms of getting, which we hope will go into transit and buses and the like. So there can be an increased use of that. But we have to make a better system. You know, I've been in Minnesota 25 years, but I didn't grow up in Minnesota. And the idea that in the middle of the winter when it's 30 degrees below zero that you're sitting out there at a bus stop that's not heated and not enclosed is very odd, it seems to me, if you want to increase mass transit.
But there is a silver bullet from electric vehicles are the answer.
Electric vehicles, you know, are the answer. And one of the nice things about electric vehicles is that it overcomes the problem of renewable electricity like wind, which is intermittent. The wind doesn't always blow. But if when the wind blows, you can generate electricity stored in your electric car, then you have the best of all possible worlds.
David Morris, co-founder and vice president of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
David has a new publication out, Driving Our Way to Energy Independence. You can find out more about the publication at newrules.org. We have a link on our website, minnesotapublicradio.org.